Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Bev, on this day before Resurrection Sunday.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
But we have a little special prayer request.
Yes, we do. Precious friends of ours, Pastor Kevin and Tammy Wells, from New Testament Church in Brandon, Florida. Their fellowship hall burned down.
We're considering maybe early morning on Friday.
Yep.
A.M.
Yep. And fortunately, the sanctuary was not damaged and nobody was hurt. But we want you to pray for them for a quick restoration.
Yes.
What the enemy's taken from them. And just Kevin and Tammy, Pastor Kevin and Tammy, New Testament Church.
Yes.
If you would do that, we'd be
Thank you. Blessed.
Amen. Yesterday, we started talking about seven ways God can lead you. And we're going to finish today, but we're going to do a brief review first. And speaking of first, God will lead you through his word.
Hallelujah.
Every 2 Timothy 3:16-17. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration, and profitable for instruction, for reproof, and conviction of sin, for correction of error, and discipline and obedience, and for training in righteousness and holy living, in conformity to God's word, will, and thought, purpose, and action, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted, and thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Might I add in this that if you have to go through it, you will grow through it.
That's good, baby.
All right. Second, God will lead you through your thoughts. Ephesians 3:20 in the Classic Amplified says, "Now to him who by and in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams."
Hallelujah. Third, God will lead us through his man or woman of God. 1 Samuel 9:6-10. 1 Samuel 9:6-10, New Living Translation. "But the servant said, I just thought of something. There's a man of God who lives here in this town. He's held in a high honor by all the people, because everything he says come true. Let's go find him. Perhaps he can tell us which way to go." Verse 7. "But we don't have anything to offer him," Saul replied. "Even our food is gone, and we don't have anything to give him." Verse 8. "Well," the servant said, "I have one small silver piece. We can at least offer it to the man of God and see what happens." In those days, if people wanted a message from God, they would say, "Let's go and ask the seer," for prophets used to be called seers. Verse 10, "All right," Saul agreed, "let's try it." So they started into the town where the man of God lived.
One thing we might say is that, of course, this was the person who was going to become, Saul was going to become king, and it was Samuel that they were going to go ask. So go ahead.
You know, honey, unfortunately, some believers, and we choose not to say many, but some, will go to a banker or financial planner about their financial matters before they ever go to their man or woman of God. So many times I've had people say to me, "Yes, but my pastor is a good man, a good woman, but they don't understand the world's economic system." Let me just tell you this. If we have to choose between a prophet who understands the word system or someone who doesn't have a clue, that's the easy choice. We're going to listen to the prophet and to the man and woman of God.
Fourth, God will give you specific instructions and visions. In Acts 9:3-6, in the New Living Translation, Acts 9, starting with verse 3, it says, "As he," this is Paul, actually Saul before he became Paul, "was approaching Damascus on his mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked, and the voice said, replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Paul was on a journey to persecute Christians when Jesus got his attention with specific instructions. There will be times, defining moments, when God will get our attention in order for us to be able to follow his instructions.
Now let's pick up where we left off on today's call. Fifth, God will speak to you through dreams. One of my favorite Bible stories as a boy was about the dreams of Pharaoh and how no one could interpret them until he called for Joseph out of the prison. I don't have time to read Genesis 41, verses 1 through 45, but we strongly encourage you to do so.
You know I do.
I know you do. While in prison, God allowed Joseph to interpret the dreams of the cupbearer and the baker. As you remember, Joseph correctly predicted that the baker would be hanged and the cupbearer would go free. Joseph asked the cupbearer to remember him when he was freed, as he was wrongly accused. But the cupbearer forgot him until the right moment.
There you go.
Had the cupbearer immediately remembered Joseph to Pharaoh, he might or might not have been pardoned. But when the defining moment came for Joseph and the children of Israel, he remembered. In fact, Genesis 41, 9 through 13, in the Living Bible, the cupbearer confesses to Pharaoh his mistake.
And we have to remember that sometimes our defining moment is not when we call somebody else to do it, but when the right timing is with God. That's a hard one to remember.
It is, baby.
Finally, the king's chief cupbearer spoke up. Today I have been reminded of my failure, he told Pharaoh. Some time ago, you were angry with the chief baker and me, and you imprisoned us in the palace of the captain of the guard. One night, the chief baker and I had each had a dream, and each dream had its own meaning. There was a young Hebrew man with us in the prison who was a slave of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he told us each of our dreams, what each of our dreams meant. And everything happened just as he predicted. I was restored to my position as cupbearer, and the chief baker was executed and impaled on a pole.
You know, during our Christian walk, I've become increasingly aware of the significance of dreams. And part of that's because of you, honey. You know, you had this book by Ira Milligan entitled Understanding the Dreams You Dream. And we recommend that to anybody.
Yeah, it's quite interesting to know and look into your dreams.
Yeah. So just know that God can lead you through the dreams of others and through your own. Exercise discernment in this area.
Yes, it's something that's a study, not just a known fact. Sixth, God will speak to you through the experiences and testimonies of others. Mark 4, verse 37 through 40. Mark 4, 37 through 40 in the Living Bible says, but soon a terrible storm arose. High waves began to break into the boat until it was nearly full of water and about to sink. Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Frantically, they awakened him, shouting, Teacher, don't you even care that we are all about to drown? Then he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, quiet down. And the wind fell, and there was a great calm. And he asked them, why were you so fearful? Don't you even yet have confidence in me? That's a very good scripture
to
remember.
That's a great scripture.
Because there are going to be times when you think that you're drowning, but the Lord is watching over. This passage of scripture has been used for centuries to maybe comfort believers who are facing their own storms of life, which it actually helps. How many times have we asked the Lord to, you know, take the turbulence in our life and to quiet it down and be still? The question Jesus asked the disciples in Mark 4:40 in the Classic Amplified is one that he's asking us today, and truthfully, one that we should be asking ourselves. He said to them, why are you so timid and fearful? How is it that you have no faith, no firmly relying trust? God will lead us through life as we put our faith and our relying trust, our confidence in Him and the Word. It's going to take faith, yeah, true, no matter what and how severe the conditions or the circumstances we face, but He will see us through.
Yes, He will be. Seventh, God will lead you through His angels. I remember during a challenging time in my life, I just laid down in bed. I looked over to my fine wife, Bev. You were sleeping, baby. When I looked back through the door, I saw one of my angels standing there. The ceiling in our bedroom was 10 feet tall. The door frame was about 8 feet, and he towered above the door frame. I remember raising up in bed to make sure I wasn't dreaming, and I wasn't. My angel was wearing military armor, which wasn't overpowering or the most obvious thing about him. The thing I was drawn to then and even now some 25, 6 years later was the most comforting smile I ever remember seeing. Almost instantly knew that this particular angel was assigned to me. In that moment, I knew everything would be all right. I laid back down and went to sleep with my angel standing at the door. We should never make a mistake in thinking angels don't exist or aren't near us to intervene on our behalf.
In Acts 27, 23 through 24, Acts chapter 27, verses 23 and 24 in the Classic Amplified, it says, "For this very night there stood by my side an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve and worship. And he said, 'Do not be frightened, Paul. It is necessary for you to stand before Caesar, and behold, God has given you all those who are sailing with you.'" This was when they were in a very tough spot out in the middle of the ocean.
They were. See, others did not see the angel speaking to Paul, nor did they hear the conversation. But it was truly a confirmation for Paul. There are angels all around us.
Hallelujah. Hebrews 1, verse 14 in the Classic Amplified says, "Are not the angels all ministering spirits, servants, sent out in the service of God for the assistance of those who are to inherit salvation?" The question we should ask ourselves is, are we putting these angels to work in lives?
That's true. In Strong's Concordance, ministering is a Greek word, G3010, and it means relating to the performance of service employed in ministry. However, G3010 is from the same root word G3008, and it means, listen to this, to assume an office which must be administered at one's own expense. Now get ready for this. The word ministering also means to do a service, perform a work of those who aid others with their resources, and relieve their poverty.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah is right.
Send those angels out to bring those clients in.
That's exactly right. 7 ways that God will direct your path.
Hallelujah. We hope this has been an encouragement this day before Resurrection Sunday.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And thank you for keeping our friends, precious, precious pastors in prayer.
Hallelujah. If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherry.com at the top where it says sow a seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.